All right, here we are. Lawyer Talk Off the Record on the air, coming at you today with an interesting topic. It's coming from not only a question or comment we had on another video, but just in general. It's a great topic, and it has to do with juries and whether juries should be secret. When can we challenge a jury's verdict? How does that all work, and why? And there's some history here, a little bit of practical considerations. We'll get right to it. But before we do that, we did an episode on body cams, but this comment came up in that context. So let's hear what they had to say.
It's coming from TikTok. We got Sean Ward 70. He said, should we record jury deliberations to ensure no one is breaking the law there?
Yeah, no. No, but it's a bigger topic than that. So it's a great question. And I really mean this. It's a good question because this is, you're not the first person, the only person. It's really, really smart people are debating this even today. And, you know, you might think of like the biggest trials we've had in modern times. I won't go back to the ancient times, like the 1900s, but in modern time, or maybe one of them, the modern times, like the O.J. Simpson case or some of these big acquittals that we get. And people would say, well, how did the jury get it so wrong? We should just watch their deliberations. And then, you see what I did there? I stopped. Because, and then what?
In theory, you're not supposed to be able to do anything with it at all. You're just going to watch it.
You're going to watch. But to what end, I guess, is where, and this is, the reason I got there is because as we, when we read this question or comment, we started, and you were going through other things we're going to talk about, it started to roll around in the back of my head. And I'm thinking, all right, it might be interesting to hear what, but what are you going to do if you don't like the way they're getting to where they're getting? It inevitably is going to create an immediate demand to go in and somehow meddle with it and fix it. And then you get to a spot like, where do you stop?
Yeah.
And then you get to a spot where you have to ask, is it really the jury's verdict anymore? Or are we supplanting our own verdict for what we think it should be? And then you have to ask who gets to make that decision.
Yeah.
And then you're back to like some judge. I heard a popular conservative commentator recently say, or talk a little bit about the virtues of maybe having a European type system where it's a judge panel. Wrong. I couldn't disagree more. You know, the history of trial by jury, some take it all the way back to Magna Carta, 1215. It even can go back further than that if you get into the history of our common law. But, you know, it replaced, there used to be three ways we had justice. It was compurgation. I'm spitting from memory here, but compurgation, ordeal, or battle. We're going back to like medieval times. Compurgation, I believe, was like you get a bunch of priests to come in and swear for your side, right hand, swear for your side. I swear he's telling the truth, or I swear he's right. So, and then you would, whoever had the most believable people swearing won. Ordeal, this is like the classic Monty Python, a witch, you know, you would throw somebody into the river, and if she drowned or he drowned, then they were actually innocent, I think, or something like that. If they floated, maybe they were probably. Yeah. And then you had this ordeal where you'd pick up a hot rock and how much it would burn your skin would be your credibility. Just crazy stuff. And then battle, of course, is, hey, I'm right. No, you're not. Yes, huh? Nuh-uh. Well, let's go fight it out and see who wins. And then a jury system comes along, and it's supposed to be like this impious idea that it's not disturbable by any outside sources. And, you know, for good or bad, we want to protect that. And we don't want to get a situation where we're quibbling with jury verdicts. I mean, look, Troy, you're in law school. You guys have probably kicked this around. Like, what's the immediate, like, I'm tainted by 30 years of trying cases. So, like, what's the immediate law school reaction to this?
Well, first off, we never talk about this in law school. I've never even thought of this concept.
And so now they really
don't teach this in law school. This is the first time, the minute I read this, I was like, this might be one of like the best comments I've read on here. Like, this is like pretty good. It really got my head spinning. In my head, the first issue is going to be, you want this jury to deliberate like freely and like do whatever they want to do in that room and like talk about it and without any pressure. And the minute you tell them, by the way, there's a camera watching you, all of a sudden I'm like, okay.
Well, that's right. Now you're performing.
Yeah, it's like, well, I want to make sure this is a good recording for the camera. I don't think that we want them to do that. And you can tell them, hey, we can't watch this camera. We can't do anything with it. Because then it's like, what's the point of recording then? Like, why are we doing it?
Right. So the point of recording this is to employ some sort of standard on jury verdicts. I mean, it has to be. I mean, look, curiosity, believe me, There's been many a times I've tried to sit outside the jury room thinking, oh, I heard him say blah, blah. Like, you're not supposed to, but you hear like yelling or something. You're like, wow, they're really mad in there. Something's going on. Or the bailiff, they get a question and we get to hear the question. So we try to predict it. But, you know, the idea is there's a sanctity there that can't be disturbed. We don't want the, you raise a great point. We don't want the jury to be influenced by who or if they're being watched. And anybody who thinks that that's not a big deal, it is. Like, we have this studio down here, and it's like the studio syndrome. People come down and be like, oh, no, I'm great. I can talk about this all day long. Businesses come and use this. Mm. And as soon as the cameras go on, they freeze. And it's happened to me. I've gotten more comfortable with it. But it happened. Anybody who looks at a camera and says, I'm just going to talk like I would talk at a bar or something, or at a restaurant or just at home, it's really hard to do because you've got this weird thing in the back of your head that now you're performing for somebody, and I think our human nature is we don't want to be second guessed or questioned, or we're very self-conscious about that. And the deliberation process incorporates enough of that in and of itself, because there's 12, not one, not two, you know, and in theory, everybody should disagree and fight it out and get to the end. And that's the verdict. And at the end of that process, at the end of that adversarial deliberation, comes at least as close to the truth as we can get, or close to the right verdict as we can get.
I just feel like the whole issue on our legal side is, let's say we do find a way to put cameras in the deliberation room. What is the point?
Well, there again, what's the point?
We get the video. Now what? Motion for a new trial. Can't do it. Can't use it. On appeal. Can't use it. The only reason we could do it is maybe a good way is, what do we do at trial that's really good? What is really sticking with this jury? And it's like, okay, that's going well. But there's other ways to do that. Like, you focus groups. You have that way to do that. But that would be interesting. Or you can interview jurors afterwards and ask them, like, what did you like about this? What did you not like about that?
Well, look, I'm wearing a shirt today. It says CDC. I have a consulting business where we organize focus groups, mock trials, and the like. And some of those you get some insight into a quote mock jury or fake jury deliberating about cases or facts that you gave them. And that's very instructive for the lawyers, but it's not so instructive if you're going to get to it's not what you want in the real world, because the argument that it's educational for the lawyers, I think that stops about halfway to what's really going to happen. Your point and the point I guess there's two things. Like, one, I think it is harmful to the sanctity of the verdict itself, because people are going to behave differently if they know they're being watched, recorded, second-guessed. And two, it's sort of like any power grab, because this is a form of a power grab. It's not, who's going to let go of that lever of power when they say, well, that wasn't in evidence, they shouldn't be talking about that. And there's going to be this overwhelming urge to intervene in the middle of it, if not change it afterwards, for something, or to comport with what we think their issues should have been. And I will say this, almost always, often is the case, I go talk to a jury afterward, even in a case that I won, and they found my way for reasons that sometimes I hadn't even considered, or I had dismissed as like a secondary or third, tertiary, I guess, or third reason why I think they should find my way. And they've completely ignored the premise of my case. Other times, though, I'm validated, where I have a theme and theory of the case, and they parrot it back to me. And then I know that I've done my job. So, you know, it's instructive, but boy, can you imagine the urge of meddling governmental actors and lawyers, worse, lawyers, to say, slimy objection! Lawyers. They shouldn't be doing that. We think this is bad. Blah, 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 blah. Now, there is actually some rules about this. And you and I worked on a case, and we have a colleague that's working on a case that that this came up.
Yeah. And I thought the scenario that it came up in our office, I thought, like, I never really imagined this. They don't teach this in law school, you know. I would never thought this jury question videoing until we have an issue where, you know, the foreman's coming back and saying, hey, we can't deliberate because somebody's being too hostile. Is that the word you used? Hostile or disruptive back there. And we have to take this foreman's word for it. And we're like, okay, yeah, you're right. And then you talk to the juror afterwards getting dismissed for being disruptive. And he's like, no, I just didn't agree with him on the evidence.
All right, so what happens is there's 12 jurors. Mm-hmm. 11 of them represented by the foreman or foreperson approach the judge during deliberations and say, look, we got a real winner here. He is a pain in our backside. He's being hostile. He won't agree with anything. And, you know, he's yelling, we're intimidated by him, blah, 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 blah. And after some debate, and I'm not going to go into all of it. We got to get the lawyer involved down here for a show. But after some discussion and debate, the judge, over objection of defense counsel, decides that the best thing to do is discharge that one juror and bring in an alternate. Well, lo and behold, about 20 minutes later, there's a guilty verdict. So you would think, all right, well, that is awful suspicious. The jury was ordered to begin deliberation anew. And this was like 2 or 3 days in. And 20 minutes after that order or instruction by the judge, they have a verdict of guilty. It sort of sounds like there were 11 people that were ready to go home and one that didn't want to find somebody guilty. And, you know, that is meddling in the system, in the jury panel, a good example of it, that probably resulted in a verdict that would have otherwise not have happened. It would have been a hung jury.
Yeah.
And you could argue about a debate about that all you want, but the fact is we have a right to trial by jury in this country, and that right contemplates and is informed by the historical notion of the sanctity of the jury. Now, it does come up here and there that there is misconduct in the jury. And there's a rule called the Aliunda rule. We're way in the weeds, but Aliunda, I think A-L-L-I-U-N-D-E, or A, maybe one L. And it basically says we can't impeach jury misconduct with external sources. So you can't interview the jury later and say, or not misconduct, you can't interview the jury later and say, yeah, they found their verdict on bad things. Now, you can get around the Aliunda rule for purposes of misconduct. So if somebody there's a Clint Eastwood movie, or his son's in a movie. I think Clint Eastwood maybe directed it. I don't remember. Called The Juror.
It's out of my genre.
It's happened like last year.
Oh, really?
A recent movie. It was his son was the key.
Oh.
The key player in
maybe
it.
Maybe it is The Juror. It's the guy from Breaking Bad. It is the judge.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. At any rate, what happens is this juror goes to the scene of the accident. It was a hit and run accident. Goes to the scene of the accident they're describing. Well, it turns out he was involved in the hit and run accident in some way. Somebody else was charged for that conduct that the juror had committed. All right. So that's, you know, clearly that's a problem.
Yeah.
And the Aliunda rule would not prohibit that from being exposed. But, you know, that's Hollywood and it's a bit of an overstatement. But a common thing might be that a juror went to the scene of a crime and brought new evidence into the deliberation room. Well, that's not proper. Everybody would agree that's not proper. That would be misconduct. I think that would probably be outside the Aliunda rule, which otherwise would prohibit impeaching the jury verdict. So there still are some ways to do it. And there's ongoing debates about whether the sanctity of the jury should remain intact or should videotape it, which I think ultimately leads away from the jury system. You know, look, take it out to its logical conclusion. You start videotaping and audio taping or recording jury deliberations, it won't be long before we want to tinker with what they're doing in there, object to what they're doing in there, ultimately challenge verdicts that are rendered as a result of it. And that is the next step from that is basically judicial oversight or judge oversight of what the jury does. And you might as well just get rid of the jury at that point. So,
yeah. I was thinking, though, for this case scenario in our office, I wish if we had this video, it would have solved this entire issue. We wouldn't have to do like motions or like get affidavits or anything. We just like pull the video. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we should. I'm trying to think of the most least restrictive way possible. There's certain motions that that give us in-camera view. So imagine like we don't get the video or anything, but the judge can at least go view it. And the judge can be like, okay, no, what he's saying, the foreman's saying there's like misconduct back there. I didn't see any.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's carry this out. You're going to take the argument. I'm not saying you agree with this or don't agree with it, but you're going to take the position that you should have some recording, video or audio of what's going on in the deliberation room.
I'm not ascribing that to you. Yeah. Okay.
But like argue that point. You just made a good argument. You could do it in camera. So only the judge could see it.
Yeah.
And only use it when there's any question. Is it public record?
For the stuff that we're doing in-camera reviews for in general, I don't think it's public record.
Well, I mean, we've got this audio recording. The case is over. Why wouldn't it be public record?
I mean, I'm just saying this could be part of the rule that it gets like dissolved after. That's right. You wait for the appellate like timeline that expires, so and then like, you get destruction.
You get the House of Representatives going to pass a bill that say you have to release all the information. I think ultimately once you, this is the classic scope creep, right? It's the Pandora's box, whatever metaphor you want to use, slippery slope.
Yeah.
Once you unleash Pandora's box, there is no way to contain it. And off it goes. You know, they can't put the genie back in the bottle, the toothpaste back in the tube, come up with another one. Leave it in the comments if you have another one. But it's going to lead to tinkering and manipulation and oversight that ultimately destroys the sanctity of the jury process. And look, one great movie. It started as a play called not Anatomy of Murder.
Anatomy of a Fall is the most
recent. No, Henry Fonda was the star. I'm drawing a total. 12 Angry Men.
Oh, yeah.
12 Angry Men. Go watch that movie, folks. 12 Angry Men. It was a play. I've never seen it live as a play, but I watched the movie. It was a remake with Jason Robards, I think. It wasn't as good. But Henry Fonda in 12 Angry Men, it's great. And believe it or not, there was a little bit of jury misconduct in 12 Angry Men. I think Henry Fonda's character went out and bought the knife that the kid had used, and he, you know, famously in this dramatic way, stabs in the middle of the table. It was supposed to be such a unique knife that nobody else could have had it, so the kid must have committed the crime. Fonda slams it down and pokes it into the deliberation table, and, you know, it's like, ta-da. But that was misconduct because he went out and investigated and brought external stuff into the jury room. So, you know,
saved a kid's life, though.
Saved a kid's life, but you never knew whether the kid did it or not at the end of that movie, which is sort of the neat part of that. Look, that is another riveting episode based on great comment and question. Keep them coming, folks. If you've got a question, you've got a thought, you've got a topic you want us to cover, check us out at lawyertalkpodcast.com, or like so many people are doing these days, leave it in the comments, shoot us a question there. Happy to cover it. If you think you want to be a guest or you got something to offer, let us know that too. We're interested in taking all comers. So Lawyer Talk, off the record, on the air, till now. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.